Glory to God. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Good to see you all out there today. I'm excited for the word today. I'm excited for what God has for us. You know, I got to be honest with you. As I've been thinking about, you know, what God wants us to do and seeking Him and seeing all the things that He wants, you know, I mentioned about a service in the park, you know, and last night I even said to my wife, I was like, you know, it's stirring in me to have one down there as well. And of course, these things take prayer, but you know what was even more so is to have a healing service. Hallelujah. And that's something that, you know, you can't fake that kind of thing. Praise the Lord. And of course, we don't want to go out without the Spirit. But we know that when we go, that when the Lord leads us to do that, that's exactly what will happen. And I believe for amazing miracles in this town, any town that we're in, any place that we go, hallelujah, whether and you should too, whether it's, you know, in your own hometown, if you don't live right in Mayville, you know, just believe that God goes with you everywhere, amen, because God wants to do some amazing things, amen. He's just looking for somebody to say yes. He's looking for somebody who's willing to receive what He wants to do, amen. Well, glory to God. Today's message is called Why Obedience. Amen. Why obedience? Now, this is going to sound like kind of a heavy message, right? But it's not. I promise you, this message will bless you. Praise the Lord. Why obedience? We're going to be talking today about why does the Bible and why do churches and why do godly people, why do they talk about obedience and obeying God and obeying the Bible and obeying the things of God? Amen. And we're going to see that it's more than just, it's not just a matter of because God gave us rules and we got to follow them. But we're going to see today that God wants to bless us. That's the God's ultimate goal was to bless us. And we find that, you know, just as you train your children, if you're a parent, just as you train your children not to do certain things, you know. I don't have to train my kids not to eat Legos anymore. It would be a problem if I don't. Now, the dog is another story. She might eat Legos, and so we got to watch that. But, you know, when I would teach my kids not to do that, it wasn't because I hated them. It was because I loved them. I wanted them to be blessed, amen? And you can't be blessed with a belly full of Legos, amen? It just ain't going to happen. Or rubber bands or anything else that you could chew on or you could find. You know, you won't get blessed by sticking your finger in a outlet or a light socket or something like that. And so or touching a hot stove. So we teach our kids these things because we want them to be blessed. I want them to keep all their digits, amen? It's really, really important to me that if they were born with 10, they should leave with 10, amen? And so, and live with 10, hallelujah, you know. I mean, 10 on each, you know, each end, hallelujah. But you know, God wants us blessed, and that's why He talks about obedience. And of course, you know, we should get to the place as Christians where we want to obey God from the standpoint because we understand that when we disobey Him, it hurts Him. And we don't want to hurt God. We don't want to cause pain and God, not pain to God, but we don't want to make, you know, God, I don't want to make my father feel bad. I don't want to make my father hurt. I want to bless my father, amen? I want to bless my heavenly father, and we bless him by how we live. Glory to God. But we see that also in that as we're obedient, that it opens the door for God's blessing to flow on us. And so if we're not obedient, it keeps us from that, amen? And so I got a lot of scripture today, so I'm just going to ask you to believe with me that we get all the way through to the end and get through it all because there's a lot of good stuff here today, amen? Praise the Lord. We're going to start in Deuteronomy. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to start in Deuteronomy 20 or 12. Praise God. Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. Now, this is Old Testament here, but Old Testament still applies. Amen. We have to look at the Old Testament through the light of the New Testament, but the Old Testament is still good for us to read and still good for us to learn. Amen. And what does it say here? It says, observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in sight of the Lord your God. Hallelujah. So we see here early on, there's a promise that God's given it to his people. He said to obey and observe and obey the things that I've commanded you to do. And then he tells us why to observe and obey them, that it may go well ever. Now, you know, see, some people look at this type of scripture, they'll look at these type of things and they'll think, well, now why say this? Is it because God is commanding you to do what he wants wants you to do so that, because if you don't do what he wants you to do, he's just going to smack you down. No, that's not what God is saying here. But God knows that there's things in this world that work a certain way. God knows how all the processes of the earth work. Praise God. Hallelujah. He knows what foods you can consume that will be healthy, and he knew what foods you could consume that would kill you. You know, there's poisons out there. Amen. There's things out there naturally in this world that weren't meant for human consumption. Praise the Lord. Just because it's natural doesn't mean it's God. God's will for you to consume it. Amen. Just, you know, I've used this example before. You know, some people try to think that natural drugs are okay to use. Natural drugs aren't any more okay to use than synthetic drugs are. Glory to God. I wouldn't go out and roll up some poison ivy and smoke it. I wouldn't go out and eat poison ivy or poison ivy berries or make a poison ivy. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's poison ivy. It's not good for you. Amen. Just because it's not God's will for us to, just because it's there. Now, it does have purpose. They tell us that poison ivy is something that you don't want to eradicate from certain areas because, like in beaches and stuff like that, it'll hold the, it keeps, helps erosion and stuff like that. And it does feed the animals, amen? There's birds that eat poison ivy berries. It doesn't bother animals like it does us. But the reason I bring it up is because God knows that. He knows those things. And of course, we've learned those things over the years, but God isn't giving us direction to keep us from, just to keep us out of fun. He hasn't given us direction. Listen, you know, we talk about drugs and alcohol a lot. Listen, if you really know the Holy Ghost, you don't need drugs and alcohol, because all drugs and alcohol do is they limit your ability to hear from God. Right. Praise the Lord. Some people get on drugs and alcohol, they think they're hearing from God, which is an absolute fallacy, because God does not speak to you. You are hearing from something, but it is not God. Right. I'm telling you, it's not God. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. I've been witness to it. I've partook of it. I've been right there. I understand it better than some, better than most, maybe. I don't know. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's important that we understand that God has things for us. He doesn't tell us to abstain from things or keep things because he wants to keep us from fun or enjoyment. It's not that at all. It's because those things, if we do them wrong, if we use them wrong, they will ultimately hurt us. Yes. That's the truth. Amen. You know, we know one of the big things is, you know, sexual relations between a man and a woman. You know, that's of God. God designed that. He designed it to be a blessing to humanity. But out of context, what do you have? You have things like STDs. You have all kinds of other things that come, you know, from that. You have unwanted pregnancies. And then what do they do for that? Then they just abort babies and stuff like that. They come up with all these other things. But there's always something that goes along with, even in that, that there's always something that hurts people. And that wasn't God's plan. And see, what God's word says is that if you observe and obey the words that he says, that he commands, that it will go well with you, not just you, but also your children. See, us being obedient, this is the thing that we so often forget. You know, a lot of people, this is why this the society with this idea of just doing you is so dangerous, because they don't realize that if you just do what you want, yeah, you might get away with something for a while, but you don't realize what you do affects your children. It could affect your children's children. Amen. It's the truth. I've seen whole generations of people walk away from God because their parents live like, just telling the truth. You know, where people could have been serving God and being in the blessing of God, instead they live for the world and they're in danger of going to hell. And of course, you know, we have to understand this, that God doesn't give us direction. And so a lot of people, they look at church people and they say, you know, and if you're new to us here today, you know, this is kind of where we're coming from. We want to explain to people that you know, we're not just trying to limit people in their life. We're trying to help people get to that maximum place of enjoyment. Maximum enjoyment, amen, where you can be blessed, because that's what God desires, amen. God desires us to enjoy this life, amen, and we're going to see that here today. Praise the Lord. So is following God about following rules? The answer is no. So many people think that following God is just about following rules. Don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that. And they hear it because, you know, a lot of times they'll hear the preachers say, you know, don't do this and don't do that and stay away from this and stay away from that. Well, of course, we preach things like that. But you understand, because there's a level of teaching where you have to be, you know, when you have to instruct. I think about the military. You know, if the military didn't instruct their, and they're starting to not, I guess, as much anymore, but if they didn't instruct the soldiers strongly in the beginning, then when they got out there and they were facing real danger, when they're facing a real enemy, when they're facing real opposition, if they're not trained right, they'll fold underneath that pressure. Well, the same thing is with us as humans. No, we could fold very easily. God did not intend, you know, marriages to fail and stuff like that. So if we obey God, if people learn to do this, if we teach people to do this, then everybody's blessed. Marriages won't fail. Glory to God. Employers will treat employees well. Employees will work right for employers. Amen. You know, that's a thing that's, singing curse out of there with different things. I've been in arguments with other Christians even about these and stuff like, but there's, you know, there's whole groups of people out there that they'll protect bad workers and they won't do anything for good workers. They'll let bad workers go. Now, at the same time, there's need for protection sometimes. Why? Because nobody's following the word of God. See, if people out there in the world were following the word of God, you would have no need for government. Do you understand that? God intended his people originally to live without government, to just be governed by him, to just have a relationship with him. In fact, the Israelites, they were the ones that demanded, we want a king just like all the other ones. That's what they demanded. And God said, if you have a king, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be under his control. You're going to have to give up. You're going to basically pay taxes. You're going to have to give up parts of your life to this king. They said, I don't care. We want it anyways. Well, see, that's what a lot of people are doing today. We want more government, more government, more God. I don't want more government. I want more God. Yeah. Amen. Because if I have more God, then my life is taken care of. If I have more God, it doesn't matter what looks. See, this is a wonderful thing about God. You know, sometimes I don't want the direction of God either. I don't like it when I'm mad at somebody that God tells me I got to forgive them. I don't like that. Why? Because when you're mad at somebody, you want to hear forgive. You don't want to hear that. They did something bad. You don't understand what they're... They are nasty. They're bad people. God, you don't know how bad they are. God says, you don't know how bad you were. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Praise the Lord. So there's your reason why you have to forgive. You say, well, they didn't... I didn't do anything. They did it. Well, did Jesus do anything when he hung on the cross? Uh-uh. Bible says he answered them not a word. Everything they were accusing him of was lies. Lies. They were lies, Stephen. Hallelujah. They were not true. Praise the Lord. Glory to you. Say, who is Stephen? Well, Jesus asked me later. I'll tell you. Praise the Lord. But they were lies. There was no truth in it. And yet Jesus didn't even answer. Why? Because he had a mission. He had a call from God. He did something. Glad. Glory to God. So God isn't just trying to get us to follow rules. He wants us to live blessed. But he knows that if we have things like, when we just look around our lives, we have speed limits for a reason. Why? Because if you're out there driving on the road 80, 90 miles an hour through a school zone, guess what happens? Somebody gets hurt. Somebody gets killed. There's accidents. It costs money. It costs lives. It costs all these things. Amen? That's why you have rules. Rules aren't a bad thing. Listen, praise God, hallelujah. Sometimes I hate that I got to tell adults that rules aren't bad things. But sometimes adults need to hear it more than kids do. Why? Because they're trying to live ruleless. Oh, I'm an adult, bless God. You can't tell me what to do. Well, you need to be told what to do if you're doing something bad. Hallelujah. We want people blessed. We want people safe. We want people helped. God wants people blessed, safe, and helped. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's why he gives us direction. But in God's direction, this is the awesome thing here. Because here, we see up there, he says, observe and obey all the words that I command you. Right? But then he says, but it will go well with you for your children, you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord. It will go well. That means that there's good things that happen when you do what's right. So, in other words, you can do something for a time that's wrong. And when you get to the end of that time, you're going to find that you aren't blessed because something's gotten hurt. But when you do things the way God tells us to do them, when you follow his law, when you follow his way, glory to God, at the end, you're blessed. You're happy. There's good things that happen, and your children are blessed and happy. Amen? Does anybody likes having happy children?
Yes.
Glory to God. I do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 John 4:9. Going all the way to the other end. John 4, 9. Yeah, the word is so good. Amen. God is so good that he gave us this word to direct us and guide us. And see, this is the thing, Christians, we got to stop looking at the word as being burdensome. We don't look at the direction of the word. We're like, oh, yeah, maybe I didn't know that. Or yeah, maybe I do know that, and this will help me. This will help me give me something to stand on. Amen. And then it gives us hope. It's like a whisper in our ear all the days of our life. Amen. A whisper in the ear that tells us it's going to be okay. That God will get us through the other side. He wants us blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 John 4:9. Yep. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Amen. So we have to understand that God intended us to live through Christ. Christians, if you've been born again, you've been born into a body that's new. You've been born into a life that's new. Amen. And this is an exciting thing. You know, this word life, I looked it up, or to live, I looked that up. It says it means to have true life and worthy of the name, to pass life. I love that, to pass life. I love to pass things. Amen. You know, if you take a test, what do you want to do? You not like taking. One thing that is pretty universal, if you're taking a test, is you want to pass it. Amen? Well, the ultimate test of living life, glory to God, who wants to pass the test of life? Who wants to get on the other side and find out, you know what, you did pretty good. Hallelujah. Ain't nobody wants to find out, man, you just screwed it up bad. You did terrible. Oh, it was bad, bad, bad for your kind. No, we don't want to hear that. Amen? We want to pass life. Hallelujah. It means a past life. Be full of vigor. To be fresh, strong, efficient, active, powerful. Glory to God. That's what this means. It says, so you can look at it this way, that this he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might be active, that we might be powerful, that we might be strong, efficient. Yes. Hallelujah. When you're doing something, you want to be efficient. Amen. If you know, that's one thing that I can't stand is inefficiency. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing worse than inefficiency. And of course, we're seeing that. You know, as the world creates more and more products that are efficient. You know, it's like, you know, we can't imagine. I remember our first house that we bought together. It had this old, what they called old octopus heater in the basement. I don't know if any of you know what that is, but it's this mammoth thing. Took up half of the center of my basement, and it had all these arms that come off. And basically all it was a gas tube coming into this thing with a big open flame. And then it blew that through the house. Amen. But what it did more of anything was just burn gas. Amen. And it just burned it freely. It burned it a lot. One of the first things that I did when we bought that house was unhook that heater and put in a different kind of heat. Why? Because it wasn't efficient at all. You know, when something is wasteful and it's kind of doing the job, but just not very well. You know, that's a nice thing about some of these newer vehicles is they don't just kind of do the job. They do them, and they do them well. You know, you have all kinds of different sensors and stuff like that. Of course, when it goes wrong, it's not fun. But, you know, the sensors that monitor different things. I even have one in my truck where it apparently shuts off something when I'm driving a certain way. It shuts off something so it uses less fuel. Amen. And that's exciting to me, especially when you drive a truck. Amen. Because the cost of fuel can be expensive, you know. And so all these things, we want to be efficient, but that's part of what God has intended for us to, how he's intended us to live, is efficiently. I mean, don't you want to make the most of your time? Is there anybody that just feels like they don't have enough time? If you come up to you come up to the end of the week and you're like, where did that week go? Yeah. Heck, you came up to the end of the year and you're like, where did that year go? I can't believe we're in 2019. I can't believe that we're most of the way through February already. What the heck? We just crossed over. When's it? You know what I mean? And it seems, and listen, kids, if you don't know what I'm talking about, as you grow older, you're going to learn this one thing, and that's that you want to be efficient in your time, because time goes by quickly. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I was talking to my grandparents. I was sitting with them this week, and they just couldn't believe it. Like, we're talking about, I was like, yeah, Caleb's going to graduate this year. Like, what? No. Caleb can't be graduating. He's just a little kid. Praise the Lord. I said, well, Ezra's 10. Praise the Lord. Can you believe that? I mean, you can't believe it. If you've been around, she's grown 10 in like half the time it takes anyone else. You know what I'm saying? Maybe even faster, praise the Lord. It's just crazy how fast time, but we want to be efficient. We want to make the most of our days, amen? And this is what God has intended us to do. His direction will help us make the most of life. That we can make the most of every single day and every single week and every single year, amen? Because as you know, it goes by quickly. And at the end of it, you're going to look back and you're going to think, where did all the time go? But man, did we do a lot for the Lord. Man, did we do a lot in life. You know, I've just determined in our life that we're just going to enjoy life. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what's coming at us, amen? It doesn't matter. My wife was giving that testimony, you know, today about how we gave more than less. I didn't get any raise this year, praise the Lord. She got a little bit of a raise, but we still gave more. Why? Because we're making the most out of life. And God is still, every year we're doing more, we're enjoying more, we're having more. Why? Because God's blessing is real. Because God His word is truthful. He will do exactly what would do. Amen. He takes you higher and you look back and you're like, how did I get that? I've been fucked up. How did I do this? I couldn't have done this on my own, but we did. I mean, not on our own, but with God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it's exciting. It's the way to live. Amen. Glory to God. So why obedience? Because God wants us blessed. Amen. We see here that God wants us to live blessed. Glory to God. Living for God is a way of life. Praise the Lord. It's a way of life. Living for God is not a part-time endeavor. It's not something you just do on Sundays. Living for God is a way of life. Praise the Lord. I think somebody said that he was the way. Praise the Lord. Didn't somebody say that once? I mean, wasn't it written somewhere that something about being the way or something like that? You know what I mean? Living for God is the way of life. Amen? And listen, this is the greatest thing about living for God. You can start wherever you're at in life, no matter how bad you screwed up. It doesn't matter how bad you were. It doesn't matter how bad things have been. You can start living for God. You can start living the way. You just start going to Him day by day. And listen, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But when you start going to Him day by day, praise the Lord. And you just say, Lord, I'm going on with you. I'm living your way. Just show me. And I'm going to do my best to follow you. Just take those steps. You don't have to be condemned. The devil's the one that condemns, but God is the one who sets free. God wants us to live blessed, amen? And He wants you to start wherever you're at, praise the Lord. Is there anybody who's, since you've really been following God, is there anybody who's truly found blessing? Really found the blessing of God, like so much so that you're like, you know what? There's nobody going to convince me otherwise. I may not know all there is to know about the Word. I might not have all the answers, but I'll tell you one thing. I know where I was and I know where I'm at. And where I'm at is a lot better than where I was. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Praise God. And if you're sitting here and you say, well, I don't have that. My life still stinks. Well, glory to God, I got some hope for you. See, God did it for every one of these people that just shouted and praised Him for it, and He'll do it for you too. Praise God. And if you don't know how He'll do it, well, then you just find one of these people, raise their hand, and you say, hey, we don't seek people out to say how we get out of the things of God. We seek people out to find out how we get into the testimony. Amen. How do I walk in that same blessing? Amen. Because that's what God has for us. Glory to God. And that's what we're taking to the world. And by God, that's what we're doing here in Mayville. Amen? Praise the Lord. So why don't you turn with me to John 10. You're in 1 John. We're going to flip back to John. The real John. Are they the same John? I don't even know that. Different Johns?
What is John the Baptist?
Praise the Lord. John 10. John 10, and we're going to start in verse 7. Glory to God. You know what I love about this John? I do know this about this John. This John was one of Jesus' disciples. And this John said that he was the disciple. He called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. I just love that. He viewed himself through the eyes of the Lord. You see, my wife was saying earlier how Jesus was approachable. You know, this man made full use of that. I love that. That's exciting. He made full use of the fact that Jesus was approachable. Amen. And he said he was the disciple that Jesus loved. He wasn't looking at everybody else. He was looking at himself. This is my relationship with God. He loves me. Amen. Glory to God. That helps some of you. Amen. John 10, 7. Praise the Lord that Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. In case you didn't know, you're the sheep. And Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Praise the Lord. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Praise the Lord. So he says, if anyone enters by him, they will go in and out and find pasture. Wherever you are, you can find pasture. Pasture, if you don't understand this analogy here, pasture for a sheep is what they desire. They desire a good pasture, a place that's got lush greens, amen, that's full of it, that they're not have to scrounge. You know, one thing I've noticed about a good pasture or a fresh pasture, praise the Lord, is when you have an animal find fresh pasture, they'll be very picky at what they eat. Oh, yeah, they won't eat garbage. They won't eat the garbage at all. They'll eat around it. They'll be like, well, this is bad, or I'm just going to go over here. They'll be a little bit more wasteful, amen. And you know, this is a good thing for us to think about, is that that's exactly what Jesus is saying. You'll go in and out and find pasture. And of course, when we understand pasture, we understand that a fruitful pasture, that place which is abundant, which is got lots of food. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I always think about shrimp and anybody eat shrimp cocktail. You know, you get a party and they have the shrimp all around. I don't know about you, but when I go up to a plate of shrimp and I'm going to start eating, what do? I'm real picky, right? I'm looking around and I'm looking, okay, I want that one and I want that one and I want that one. Hey, I used to do it when they were doing communion in church too. I'd look at the pieces of bread because we use bread in our church, and I wanted the big one, the one that was cut, you know, the one that someone cut a little bit bigger. Praise the Lord. You all know what I'm talking about because I see you still doing it too. The wafers are all the same size, but you still look at them like, which one? No, I'm just kidding. I want the juice cup that's a little bit more full. You know what I mean? Why? Does it matter? Well, that little bit more isn't going to matter, but I want it. Amen. And that's exactly the same. The shrimp on the top tastes the same as the shrimp on the bottom. If it doesn't, maybe something's wrong. But generally, the shrimp on the top tastes the same as the one on the bottom. But you ain't going for the one on the bottom. You're looking for the big ones on top. Amen. You know, when we were, we had some friends of ours that introduced us. He was from Maryland originally. They down there, one of their things is the Maryland blue crab. You ever had that? Amen. Now, if you've never had, real good. If you like crab and stuff like that, it's actually probably about the best crab that you can have. Amen. But you go buy them, and you buy them by the bushel fulls. Amen. And they dump them out in the middle of the table. They get the table and they have a newspaper all over it, and they dump them out in the middle. And it's not rude. It's custom to pick the one that you want first. You always start with the biggest ones first. You know, you go for the good ones. Amen. That's good pasture. Amen. That's green pasture. That's where God wants us to live. Amen. And you work your way down and you get towards, like, you may be skipping over one or something like that. Skipping over the one with one claw. You want the one with two claws. Amen. And the big two claws. Amen. But you know what I'm saying? So so we get this idea, but this is what God wants us. This is how he desires that we live. He desires that we live in green pasture. Provided it. He wouldn't say that he's a good shepherd, because a good shepherd is looking for the best pasture. They're not looking for the worst pasture. They're not looking for the one clawed crabs. Amen. They're looking for the double claw, four claws. Give me one of those with four claws. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But God wants us. He wants us blessed in it. Amen. We have to understand this. But we have to live in this, because this is how we're going to teach other people. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Praise the Lord. And here's that big old scripture we love around here. The thief does not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. So look at this. Now we see. I always read that scripture just by itself, but now we finally see this scripture in context. In context, he's talking about finding good pasture for his sheep. Amen? And now he says, listen, a green lawn probably isn't going to be a big desire. I mean, you might want a nice lawn at home, but what I'm saying is you're not looking to live off of eating off of grass. God is talking about life, amen? He's talking about the life that we live here on the earth. God desires that we live it and live it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. He wants us to have abundant life. Abundant life. Amen. Abundant life is a good life. It's a getting to the bottom where the nasty shrimp lie. Hallelujah. It's staying on top where the good plump ones are. Amen. It's the ones that people want. It's not the ones with a weird in their tail. You know what I'm talking about? I hope I'm making sense to you. Praise the Lord. That God wants us to live a full life. He wants us blessed where we live. But it only comes as we submit and we commit to Him. And doing so, that's a mandatory part of it. Why? Because a sheep that's always running off by itself is not protected by the pastor. A sheep that's always off alone doing their own thing, they're not protected by the pastor. You know, pastor means shepherd. Hallelujah. The shepherd can't get those. A shepherd can keep track of the sheep pretty well. But there is a level of obedience on the sheep, in that if the sheep, you know, if you get a stubborn sheep that's just going to do whatever it's going to do, well, it's going to cause it to be in trouble. Amen. It'll cause it to get to that place. And that's the same way it is with Christians. We have to understand that God used these parables for a reason. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see that God wants us blessed. He wants us to live abundantly. This is the life that God desired. But it comes through obedience. Obedience to Him. Obedience to the Word. Doing our best to follow after Him and what He has for us. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Romans 5:8. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Another scripture that I love here. Praise the Lord. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's get into this a little bit. What does this mean? I love it because it's in the present tense, in the sense that God says, that it says that God demonstrates His own love. How does God demonstrate His love toward us? It says here, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah. Meaning that God's demonstration, His demonstration of love, is still in what Christ did for us. Yeah. That's pretty important. That's pretty big. See, we have to really understand what God is saying here. God isn't demonstrating His love by magical powers, making things happen that didn't, you know, like growing a money tree in your backyard and stuff like that. That's not how God demonstrates His love. He demonstrates His love in that while we were still sinners, when we were not worth it, when we were not worthy, when there was no good feelings to be had about us, Christ died for us. And when Christ died for us, Jesus said that He came, praise the Lord, that we would have an abundance. Praise the Lord. So it's in what Christ did that demonstrates the love. But it's how we connect to it. We understand that Christ dying for us does nothing for us if we don't receive it. It does nothing for us if we don't hook up to it and say, you know what? I want to be part of this. I want to be connected to what You're doing, God. I want to be connected to what You did, God. You know, there's a lot of people that will mentally assent to, they'll say, okay, I don't want to go to hell, so I'll accept Jesus. But then they don't want to live for God. Right. Listen, because you said, I accept Jesus, does not make you saved. Just because you say that you love God does not make you love God. It does not make you saved. What makes you saved? The Bible says that when there's a repentant heart means to be changed. When you decide that, you know what, my old living, that isn't the way anymore. You can't live the way you always did and be a Christian. Because the way you always did was going to hell. Praise the Lord. That Jesus stopped that process by giving us a new life that we are called to walk in. If we don't walk in that new life, then we don't walk in salvation. Right. Salvation, I've told you so many times, is so much more than just going to heaven. It's so much more than that. We have to walk in salvation. Now, that doesn't mean that you can just lose it haphazardly, or that you know, you're just going to be going along and all of a sudden salvation is ripped away from you because you screwed up one time or something like that. But listen, we prove our salvation by how we live. We prove our salvation by our obedience to God. Amen? And that obedience is not, you know, Jesus told us the commandments aren't burdensome. It's not hard to live for God. You understand? It's not hard for us to live for God and to seek His plan. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we see this, that He demonstrates His love this way. Amen. So we see that Christ died for us, and that was God demonstrating His love. That's how God demonstrates his love, right? And you can say, well, I don't know if I believe all that other stuff. I don't know if we can get into, how can you pull all that out of Scripture? See, this is the thing about knowing Scripture, is that we don't just pull one Scripture and make it say what we want. We find multiple Scriptures and we see how they interconnect. Amen? And then that's how you determine what the Word is saying. So with that in mind, let's flip over to Romans 8:28. Praise God. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who what? Love God. To those who are the called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. So we see that it works together for the good to those who love God. Jesus said, if you love me, do what I say. Remember what I said. Why obedience? Because obedience opens the door for all things to work out together for the good. Those who don't love God, listen, I'm not saying, like, you can sit there and say, I love God. You have natural feelings of love for God. It's not what this is talking about. Amen? This is talking about God kind of love. That no matter what the natural feelings say, that you're going to, love looks a certain way. Love acts a certain way. And this is something that I really want to explain here. It's just like a marriage, a husband and wife team, when they're married. Hallelujah. Love looks a certain way. You can say you love me, but if you don't act like you love me, you don't love me. Amen? You can feel it. I've had lots of people tell me over the years, tons and tons and tons of people, that they love me. Praise the Lord. I've had people that say they love me that today won't even talk to me. But you didn't love me. If you loved me, then you wouldn't have been moved so easily. Hallelujah. But, you think about a child. Your child is easy to love, right? Especially when they're little. It's easy to love. It's easy to love your little baby. It's easy for a mom to look at her baby and love them. If there's not, there's something wrong. You know what I mean? But generally speaking, it's easy to love that child. It's not something that you have to try to do. You know, that's a feeling and stuff like that. But how you act shows, you know, there's a lot of people that have good feelings towards people, but then are terrible parents. And they prove that they don't love their children and that they won't, you know, like if a parent that won't discipline their child, they do not love. The Bible tells us this. They do not love their children. You may feel good feelings, but if you don't discipline, you don't love. Why? Because love disciplines. Love demands the truth. Amen? It demands right things happen. Praise the Lord. Now, we have to take that in context, but you have to understand we're talking about with children. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we see this, and we know that all things... Those who love God. I love this because the Bible tells us that love is not based on things. If you study 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, love has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with what you decide to do. It has nothing to do with feelings. Like, well, but it's not the same kind of love. God does not care that he doesn't want you to be romantically involved with him. He doesn't care that you look at him and say, oh, you're so hot, God. I'm just telling you the truth. This is the way, but see, everybody tries to make that love every form of love. That's not what love is. This is why people fall out of love, because when their spouse ain't hot anymore, now they fell out of love. I'm just telling you the truth. Listen, things change, things move. We all know that. I'm 42 years old. By God, I know things move. They moved all over the place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord that my wife doesn't love me just based on how I looked when she met me. Amen. I don't know if I looked any better then. I'm just saying, you know, I'm glad that it doesn't. What's that? Did you say no? It doesn't matter. She's stuck now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got her roped in. Praise the Lord. We got her tied down. Amen. I ain't letting her go, but oh, she still looks hot, though, to me. Praise the Lord. But, you know, that's the thing. Things change, and people say, well, I'm not following. You didn't fall out of love. You were just in lust, and now you don't have lust anymore. And so you want, and you, that's what you desire. See, we gotta look at things right, people. Praise the Lord. The world is so fickle, and they're just up and down in their emotions all the time. Listen, if you live by your emotions, you're living like the world, up and down, up and down, up and down. That's not what God intended us to move. Live. Amen? We believe the truth. Praise the Lord. So we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called, the called according to his purpose. I love that it says the called. Amen? Because it's not just called, it's the called. I'm not just called, I'm the one who's called. Hallelujah. I'm the called. Praise the Lord. So are you. Amen? praise the Lord, called to his purpose. Amen. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed. Look at this. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, does that mean that we all are supposed to grow a beard and wear sandals and wear a tunic? And no, that's not what he's talking about, conform to the image of his son. We're supposed to walk the way that Jesus walked. We're supposed to live the way that Jesus lived. We're supposed to carry ourselves the way that Jesus carried himself. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. That's pretty exciting. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of the son. Now, this is why it's important on how you think about it. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, it doesn't matter if Jesus had money or not, or whether he had a supply or not. Well, it certainly does matter, because if you're to be conformed to his image and you don't know what the heck he looked like, praise the Lord, you're going to get in a lot of trouble, aren't you? If you think about Jesus going to walk around poor, beat up, and defeated all the time, then that's exactly how you're going to live. Because that's Jesus. Because you're going to be conformed to that image of the Lord that you know. My God is the one who beat death, hell, and the grave. My God is the one who never had lack in his life. My God is the one who was always able to overcome mountains. Able to overcome mountains. My God is the one who always defeated the devil. Praise the Lord. Well, by God, if I got to be conformed into the image, I want to be conformed into that image and not the weak Mormon Jesus that everybody sees petting lambs all the time. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. I want to be the lion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, he's called the Lion of Judah. Glory to God. That's what I want to be conformed into. I don't know about you. Praise the Lord. Why? Because was that lion out there being brash? No, because we see it when we go back to the apostle, the disciple Jesus loved. Remember John? There's an account in John where John was so at peace around Jesus, where he was leaned up against him, resting his head on his chest. That's how at peace he was. That's how approachable Jesus was. See, the Lion of Judah wasn't the lion to people. He was the lion to the devil. He was a lion to the lie. He was a lion to the things that tried to devour him. He said the devil walks around as a roaring lion, right? That's what we're told in the scripture in 1st or 2nd Peter. We're told that the devil walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we understand this. He walks around as a roaring lion. Not the roaring lion. See, Jesus is the Lion of Judah. The devil just wants to try to copy him. Some of you might be saying, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Well, praise the Lord. Just say this. Jesus was strong. The devil is weak. Praise the Lord. And God wants us to be conformed into the image of Jesus. He wants us to be strong and not weak. Remember when we read that thing about life, when I read you those things? We're strong, right? Strength was in there. We need to be strong. We need to be strong. We need to be conformed into the image of strong. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you. I'm preaching myself happy. Praise the Lord. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Praise the Lord. That's made pure, made clean. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Praise the Lord. That's pretty awesome. I mean, look at all this stuff he's doing for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. What shall we say to these things then? These things. If God is for us, who can be against us? See, you're sitting there with all that trial in your life. All those things coming against you. All those people that are railing you, or whatever you're dealing with. The Bible says that if he's for us, who can be against us? You got to know the answer to this question in order for that to make sense. If you know that the answer to this question is, it doesn't matter who's against me because Jesus is for me. Well, praise the Lord. I don't need all of them. All I need is him. Amen. Glory to God. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This is our God. This is why obedience matters. Because this is what God wants to do. He wants to freely give you all things. But he can't pour. You know, the Bible tells us not to cast our pearls to swine. Why? Because swine would just devour them up. A pearl is no more valuable to a swine than a piece of garbage is. It means nothing more to it. And that's exactly what the Bible, God isn't going to cast his pearls to swine. He isn't going to cast his pearls to people who just turn around and mess all over it. He isn't going to toss his pearls and give his precious things to people who want to trample it underfoot. He ain't going to do it. He just ain't going to do it, and he's rightfully so. Would you want to? Would you want to give your most precious and prized possessions or your most precious and prized thing? I can't think of anything that's more precious to me than my family. I can't think of anything that is more precious to me than than these people sitting right here. Praise the Lord. I can't think of anything more precious to me. But I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't give them up for any of you. Right. I wouldn't give them out for anybody. Not even the most righteous person. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God. It matters to God that we receive what Jesus did. And it matters to him that we receive the things that he says. Why? Because he doesn't want to give his son to somebody who's just going to trample it underfoot. In fact, the Bible tells us and warns us about trampling another. For Christians who live like the world lives are Christians who take the blood of Christ, God's precious child, and they throw it on the ground. They trample it like a hog. That's what they do. They're hogs. They're pigs. There are Christians out there that are nothing but hogs and pigs because they take what God did and they don't care about it. Doesn't mean enough, and they trample. I'll tell you what, it gets me fired up. I might yell. Hallelujah. I might do something here. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. It gets me fired up. Hallelujah. To think that there's Christians out there that think nothing of just trampling the blood of Christ, what he did, all these things he paid for. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? God wants to give us a blessed life, and then Christians still, they lay it down before, because you know what? They'll lay it down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I ain't going to say it. I'm going. That's where I'm going to stop it because I want to get mean. Praise the Lord. We got visitors with us today. We want to be nice. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we understand that we need to be obedient. Glory to God. Ephesians. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. God is good. Amen. Ephesians 2. Read verse 8 through 10. Amen. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So by grace we're saved through faith. By grace we're saved through faith. There's a lot of people that they're out there, you know, they're talking about, yes, the blood of Jesus, salvation is a free gift to everybody, okay? But it happens through a process of us accepting something, us being obedient. We have to be obedient. It's a free gift. It's for you to take freely. Yes, by grace you have been saved, but it's through faith. It is not exempt from faith. It is through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, we don't boast. I didn't win my salvation. I didn't do anything to get saved. I didn't do anything to get Jesus to look favorably upon me or God to look favorably upon me. I didn't do any of that for salvation. Amen. But look at this. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Just because you should walk in them doesn't mean that you would walk in them. You make the decision whether or not you are obedient. God has prepared works for us. Every Christian who is saved, everybody who has received the blood of Jesus to keep their butt out of hell, to keep their butt out of hellfire, you understand, for eternity, if you've accepted that. So if you qualify under that, praise the Lord, this is what you've been saved for. Works that God has prepared for you to do. So you can't do them if you're not obedient. You can't walk out your salvation with fear and trembling if you're not obedient. You can't walk into the blessing of God if you're not obedient. Listen, this is not says nothing about being perfect. So is there any perfect people in here?
No.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I didn't see any on the way in. I'm just making sure in case I missed one. Amen. Maybe you're shorter than others. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But there's no perfect people. And this is not talking about being perfect. But we have our walk with Christ has to be a walk with Christ. In other words, you have to, you like to walk with somebody. The Bible says, how could two walk together unless they be agreed, right? So if we're going down the road, we're walking together, and I want to go over here and do my own thing, praise the Lord, are we agreed? Are we walking together? No, we're not. I wanted to throw an example. I wanted to show it actually, but you get what I'm saying. If we're walking together down the road and I decide, well, I'm going this way and you decide you're going that way, we are no longer walking together. So who are we to follow? Are we, or who's to follow who? Is Jesus following us, or are we following Jesus? We're following Jesus. If you want what God has, you have to be obedient. Is Jesus going to be like, bless God, you follow me or die? That's not what he's saying. But as we're walking down the street, praise the Lord, we're walking down the, whatever, the path of life together, Jesus will nudge us and he said, this is the way we need to go. And he'll be like, but I like what's over here. I like what it's, I'm like, I like what I'm seeing over here, Jesus. And he's like, no, just come this way. Keep coming this way. And that's the way it'll happen. And you'll be like, no, but Jesus, did you see what was over here? He's like, I know what you're seeing over there. I have for you is much better. This is obedience. Amen. And so you keep, you keep, and sooner or later, you're just like, what? I'll be right back. And then you go off. Come back, you find Jesus ain't in the same spot. Praise the Lord. You might have to go back. You may have to try to catch up. It isn't always easy. I've seen this happen when people walked away from the Lord and tried to come back. And God will accept them back. But I'll tell you what, a lot of times they go through hell trying to get back. I was one of those people. I was one of those people because I wouldn't listen. And so I broke away. See, I don't preach things that I don't know. I preach things from a place of knowledge, a place of understanding, a place I've been there. Amen. I broke away from God. I separated myself from him. I wasn't obedient. It wasn't about just following God. See, gee, that's the way God's walking with us. How many people want to walk down the street with somebody who's nasty? Praise the Lord. That's why I don't take my wife on walks anymore. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. I had to get you back a little bit just kidding. I walk with her anywhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. And she knows I like following her even better. Glory to God. But I'll walk with my wife anywhere. Praise the Lord. But you know, if she was nasty and mean, I wouldn't want to walk with her. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to walk just because I don't want to go for a walk. So let's go for a drive instead. We can do that together too. Amen. But you know what I mean? But if we go for a walk, you know, they put this nice walking path. How many people complain about that? I don't know why people complain about things. They put in a nice walking path for us. Like somebody said about the snowmobiles or something like that. Like, snowmobiles go for like 2 months out of the year. The rest of the time, we need a place to walk that's nice. You know what I'm saying? So you just don't complain about stuff. Amen. You just be for what you got. They made the area pretty. Now we can all see the lake. Amen. And not just the people that live there. Glory to God. But you know, that's free, no charge. Hallelujah. But you know, if you're walking down the path and somebody's just bah, 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 what are you going to do? You're going to want to walk a different direction because you don't want to walk with that mess, right? God isn't talking. He's not walking. The obedience he has from us is not him going, blah, 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 just follow me. Just do what I say. Blah, 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 blah. And there's no blood. No, he's saying, follow me. Walk with me because I'm going to lead you to the place that's blessed. You might think that looks good, but wait till you see what I got to show you. Hallelujah. See, this is exactly what God has done in my life. This is what he's doing in our life. We haven't arrived at that ultimate place yet, and I thank God for that. We haven't arrived there. We are continually walking towards it. We are following God to it. And guess what? The sights on the way are better than what I thought was awesome back then. Praise the Lord. This is why we separate from the things that we used to be. And we hook up to what God wants us to be because it's blessed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God wants us helped. He wants us blessed. He wants us walking in the things. Ephesians 2:10. Amen? Praise, did I read all this? Yeah, we are his workmanship. Glory to God. Look at this, Ephesians 2:10. Let's read this in the Amplified. Because I love this in the Amplified. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. This is what born again means. You're born again. You're born anew. Amen? Born anew, and it says it here, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand, for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Now, I want to touch on a few things here. First of all, he said he wants us to walk in good works. What does the word good mean? It means good, right? Does anybody think good means bad? We're still on it. We haven't got that far in our society yet where good means bad, right? We're heading that way, but we understand good is good. If they're good works for us to do, then there's no burden to us. When God asks you to do something, he just told us they're good works. They're good works. That doesn't just mean they're good to God and nobody else. His whole reason for doing all of this was to bless us, to bless his people. He sent Jesus for us. He didn't send Jesus because he needed Jesus. He didn't send Jesus because the angels needed Jesus. He sent Jesus for you and me. Hallelujah. So we can walk in the blessed life that God has for us. And the works that he's called us to is good work. Is there anybody that's ever had a job that they liked? There's a few of us. Praise the Lord. Have you ever done something? You're just like, hey, man, I could actually do this for a living. Well, imagine you find something that you love to do, and on top of it, somebody comes to you and says, you know what, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to bless you with all the things that you want. I'm going to move you into all those desires of your heart. All those things you'll get just from working that job. Anybody wouldn't take that job? I'm signing up today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I signed up 5 years ago. Glory to God. I'm walking in that place right now. My wife and I are. Praise the Lord. See, this is what God wants us to do. That's what He set us up to win. He set us up to win, Stephen. I want to win. Hallelujah. That's another reference to Stephen. You're like, who's the Stephen guy? I don't even know. Well, Stephen got stuck. So just, no, we're not talking about that Stephen. I'm talking about a different Stephen. But he wants to win. He wants us to win. I want to win. Don't you want to win? Let's win, win, win. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So we see that these works are good works. So when God has told us to do something, it's good. That means the definition of good is like, it's like all-encompassing good. All the things that come out of it, good. If I do something good, I'm not the only one who's blessed. Right. Right. This is where most Christians live. They live in that place of doing what is good for them, and they're the only ones blessed, but they're not even really fully blessed. Because then they walk around, they feel like they feel lost, and then their marriages, you know, are never right, and their kids are all doing stuff, and they're like, but I did this thing that I enjoyed. This is why doing you is stupid. Because it's not a good work. A good work blesses you and you and you and you. Praise the Lord. As we've done this work, praise the Lord. Has anybody been blessed in this church? Glory to God. Well, all the people who have put their hand to the plow to make this church be what it is, that's been good work. Has there been times, if you've been with us, praise the Lord, has there been times where it was difficult? Has there been times where there was trial? Praise the Lord. There's times in the future where there will be a trial. But guess what? It's a good work. People are blessed. People are helped. Lives are changed. Corey, it's not always easy, Corey. But guess what? It's a good work. People are blessed. And at the end, when the tree comes to full fruition, it's going to prove itself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because good works always do. But I love this last part. Living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. God prearranged and made ready a good life for you to live in. And yet you, I'm not saying just all of you, but you, someone out there, you are not doing what God wants to do because you think for some reason your plan is still better. And yet He's got a good life that you'd be blessed in living in, the most blessed that you would ever be, and you reject it. See, this is where Christians get out of balance. Amen? Praise the Lord. John 5:36 says, but I have a greater witness than John's. He's talking about John the Baptist. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Praise the Lord. The very works that He does bear witness of Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now I want you to flip to John 14:12. John 14:12. Sometimes I start flipping before I look which way I'm going. John 14:12. Now I'm going to reread that scripture to you. Jesus said, but I have greater witness than John's, John the Baptist, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So the works that Jesus did proved who He was. They proved how He was connected. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at John 14:12 with that in mind. John 14:12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. The works that we do speak to the world of who we're connected to. Praise God. But God has good works. Jesus said, the works that I do, greater works than these will you do. Greater works than these. We got to ask ourselves. We got to ask ourselves, are we doing greater works than Jesus? Are we doing greater? Like, that's why we start talking about these things that come up, these ideas of having healing services in the park. Why? Jesus was doing that already. We're 5 years in. We haven't done that yet. Praise the Lord. Jesus was doing that 3 years in. Praise the Lord. He was walking around healing people and seeing results. Why? Because there was people that were praying. There was people that were in faith. There was people that, you understand? He was, and he, importantly, praise the Lord. Obedience to God shows God in us and therefore God to the world. Our obedience to what God tells us to do shows that God is in us, and then thus, as we walk around with God in us, it shows the world who God is. God isn't here anymore in the flesh. He isn't here manifesting physically, and he's not going to. Jesus is not going to walk around town talking to people unless he does it through you. You understand? The Holy Spirit isn't going to walk around town talking to people because that's not the way he works. So many Christians are out there seeking visions and see things. God's saying, let it show through the works that you do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying visions don't exist, but I'm saying that they don't exist a lot. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God. Visions aren't a kind of thing. God doesn't speak to us through visions. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. You understand that? And so we deal with this. There's churches. There's whole churches that are basically they're having this vision and that vision and this vision. If you're having all those visions, you need to check up on what you're putting in. Hallelujah. Because God isn't just doing that. Amen. He doesn't do it. The way he works. Amen. God will give us visions. The Bible says that we will have those. And so we don't want to reject them either, but we understand that God leads us through the Word and his Holy Spirit. He does these things through the Word and his Holy Spirit. He isn't doing them through all these outward signs that the Jews needed. Why? Because he did something greater than that. A greater work was putting God on the inside of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Your obedience isn't for you alone. It is to be a blessing to the entire earth. And this is what Christians need to understand. This is why Christians fight. Christians that, we should not, there are whole churches where Christians are just fighting each other on everything. Oh, the pastor said this, I don't like. Who cares what you like or you don't like? Why does your opinion suddenly make a difference? Why does your opinion matter? Now, honestly, let's think about that. In the grand scheme of things, why does your opinion on what pastor should be preaching. Why does that matter to anything? Because it didn't help anybody before. You think it's going to suddenly start helping now? But see, everybody wants their opinion. Everybody wants to have the things that they think or that they say, or they want to have things their way. And that's why the church is in chaos. That's why nobody knows which way to go, because everybody's got to have a stinking opinion. God never told us to have opinions. He said, get into the Word, get into the Spirit, and find out what God has. Hallelujah. And be led by those things and be good with those things, because in that the world will be blessed. The world isn't blessed when suddenly you want to do something differently. The world isn't blessed when suddenly you want, you think that, well, we should have done it this way or that way. It doesn't matter what you think, because God wasn't speaking to you about it. The devil was. You know how I know? Because it's offense. Offense always comes from that standpoint of going against what God is doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Colossians, I'm not getting mean, am I? Colossians 1:15. We just need the truth, because the truth sets us free. It's not the ideas of man or the opinions of man or any of that stuff that sets us free. Oh, it just puts people back in bondage. Colossians 1:15. We're getting fixing the clothes here. I always love it when they're new people, because they're like, how long is this guy going to go for? You can just sense it. You just feel it. Not that I'm looking at people and they're saying, no, it's like you can sense, that it's getting time. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:15. Praise the Lord. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The firstborn. That doesn't mean he was the lastborn. He was the firstborn. If he's the firstborn, that means that we are supposed to be the secondborn. Amen? For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn, from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So what is this saying here? Ultimately, what this is saying is that he is the head, praise the Lord, we are the body. This is important, because I want to skip back up there to, verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth. Yep. Yeah, at the end of that verse, it says, all things were created through and for him. Well, guess what? It's all created for Jesus, right? Everything was made for Jesus. That's awesome, right? What does that do for us? Well, it didn't do anything for us when we weren't part of the body, but now that we are his body, guess what? Benefit from what my mouth puts in. My knees benefit from whatever my mouth puts in. What's my mouth is attached to my head, right? My head is attached to my body, praise the Lord, and everything that blesses my head blesses my body. Glory to God, hallelujah. If all things are for him, then all things are for us. Praise the Lord. And of course, we know that the Holy Spirit's job is to declare to us which things specifically belong to us. Glory to God. But God, obedience causes us to be blessed. That's all that it just causes us to be blessed. It causes us to walk in that. Amen. How do we see scripture after scripture? The direction comes from the head, but the body executes it and takes the ideas from the head to the world. If you have an idea, if you lay there and you're like, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're laying next to your spouse or whatever, and you say, hey, let's do this or this today. And sometimes we do that, amen. We'll wake up and say, yeah, we're going to do this. We're just going to go here. Why? Because we want to, amen. So we're just going to go here. We're going to drive a couple hours away and just go see something neat, right? Yeah. Amen. But see, if your body doesn't join in, your head don't go, right? Right? I mean, the head can sit there all day long coming up with good plans, but unless that body connects to it and says, I'm going on, praise the Lord, you don't go on. Your body takes you there. Amen? Sometimes my head wants to keep going places, and my body's just like, I can't do it anymore. You ever been there? It's like in your mind, you'd say, man, I could get over there, but your body's saying, no, you can't. Not today, sucker. You know, it's like you feel like your head's, and that's exactly but that's what the head is doing. The head of the body of the church, the head of the church, which is Jesus, is constantly telling his body, let's move here. Let's move here. Let's do that. Yeah. And sometimes the body's like saying, not today, sucker. Saying, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going. I ain't doing it. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? This is why obedience is necessary. Because the direction that the head has is always a good place. My hands and feet don't... If we look at it this way, think about it this. We're getting close to closing here. Think about it this way. My hands and feet have no idea what my hands and feet need. They only do what the head says. Right? They have no idea what they need. They might feel things, but even the head tells them what they feel. I mean, if you think about it that way. But the hands and feet, they don't know. My belly doesn't know what it needs. My legs don't know what they need. My arms don't. We are the body of Christ. We don't know what we need. You don't know what you need. You don't know. You may look at something and say, hey, that looks good, but you don't know that that's what you need. Amen? Glory to God. You know, my belly is very satisfied when I eat a piece of cake. Hallelujah. It can eat cake a lot. And be very satisfied to it. And it's been so satisfied that it's been expanding to make more room for more cake. Hallelujah. But it's not good, and the head knows that. And so the head limits the cake because it doesn't need that. See, the belly thinks expansion is good, praise the Lord, but the head knows that it's not. Amen. And so it's the same thing with us. As the body of Christ, we know, we don't know all the things that we need. We don't know all the things that are good for us. But the head will show us if we follow. Obedience, praise the Lord, is a good thing. And so we're going to close with this scripture, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yeah. He is the way. Jesus is the way. It's not our way. It's Jesus' way. So why obedience? Obedience isn't about following rules. It's about walking in the blessing that God has provided for us already.